You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope your Friday's been going well. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Saquon Barkley right? Is Saquon Barkley right? The Super Bowl champion is talking his talk, which I guess, you know, you get to do, right? I subscribe to the theory that you do what you want when you're popping.
Mm-hmm.
And if there ain't, I mean, I don't know anybody that's popping more football-wise than Saquon Barkley after the year that he had. Like, think of it going back to Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
On the idea of, you know, are they going to sign? Are the Giants right. going to sign him back? He ends up with the Eagles. He has the crazy season that he has. He has the playoff run that he has. I mean, think about it. He could have had one more thing because he could have tried to push for a record at the end of the regular season that they ultimately sat him mm-hmm. down for. I mean, I guess proved right in some ways, and they went and won the Super Bowl in commanding fashion as well. And so, I mean, this he had a good time, and he is talking pretty big. This is actually Saquon talking about last year's Eagles and how he views them in a historical context.
I firmly believe when you look at our team that we had last mm-hmm. year, I think we're a top five team of all time. And I tell my boys this all the time. Like, if you really look at the season outside of the first four games, like, it was belt to ass. How dominant you guys were on defense mm-hmm. and how dominant you were on offense and special team. Yeah. People don't realize how great of a team that actually yeah. was.
We were working together.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have training camp. But, like, it's kind of different when it's just in-game. Like, how your coach really is. Like, how's he calling the game? Like, getting used to that. And kind of getting used to the guys you play with. But after the bye week,
I think we just all bought in.
We just bought in.
Yeah, I think we all just bought in. And, like, you hear, like, the outside noise and expectation. Like, we didn't care how it looked. Only thing we cared about was winning football games. And when you have the talent, skill that we have in our team mixed with the coaches, we all play together like how we played. It, like, teams really stood no chance.
All right, so a couple things here. First of all, and this is not to dredge up bad memories, but I guess it is, could have been and was offered to be a Texan.
That is true.
Why you got to bring
so you did
up,
you did dredge up bad memories.
That's the first
you thing. You had to bring up old stuff.
I was like,
you really
well,
didn't have to.
I was like, well, dang.
No one made you do that.
That had nothing to do with this conversation.
Yeah.
Love Joe Mixon, but, you know, just something that crossed my mind.
That's a nasty work, too, because it's not like Joe Mixon was bad.
No. But here's the bigger point, too. He just said that last year's Eagles were a top five team of all time.
All time.
Now, that's, I think, silly when you consider.
Mm.
No, well, hold on. I'm going to qualify it.
I'm listening.
And,
I was just.
And give him his due.
Okay.
Because when you look at the 1972 Dolphins, undefeated, 17-0, the 78 Steelers, you know, the 85 Bears. Well, there's three right there that were clearly better than last year's Eagles. So where I'm gonna draw a line, and I think he has a strong case if you draw the line here.
Super Bowl champions?
The year 2000.
Okay.
Because the 70s and 80s, it was the glory days for the NFL, but the rules were so different. The style of play was so different. I mean, guys were getting clotheslined and quarterbacks were getting beaten to the ground, and not protected nearly as much. So there's modern day NFL, and then there's more modern day NFL. And I'm going to say the more modern day NFL is the last 25 years from the year 2000.
Can I ask you what might be a stupid question in your mind?
And that is?
Are we certain that the Eagles were the best team last year? Because I think we do this thing where we go, the Super Bowl champion is thus the best team, and that would be all cool if we weren't working off a single elimination tournament. Like it's if you're just going from a statistical place, it is one of the smallest samples that you can get with a circumstance that, you know, injuries play in. Like it is a war of attrition type sport. It is a sport where the playoffs, as we're deciding who is the champion, is a different playing field of sorts than your regular season, because you're playing in this cold or in this different perspective or different environment. Yeah. Than, like, we do this thing where we go, oh, that's the best team. And not entirely. Usually, obviously, it's one of the better teams that gets there just because you have to be good to get to this place to some degree.
Yeah.
But the idea that they're absolutely the best team, do you subscribe to that?
Yes.
And, I mean, don't you got to talk about if you win it all or win something?
I think that's a factor.
Because otherwise, we bring it up that Patriots team that won.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because first of all, you know, to your point, Reggie, I don't think there's a question the Eagles were head and shoulders the best team last year, and I think they have a case. And let me lay it out since the year 2000. First of all, with last year, they just ran through fools. I mean, they put 55 on the Commanders in the conference championship. I mean, 55.
Is that good?
You know, and they ran through the Rams, which was obviously a hot team at the time. Packers, they beat by double digits. And then they threw 40 on the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
They did that.
Yeah. I do recall that. 30 in the first half.
Yeah, 30 in the first half. And so when you talk about last year, I don't think there's any question. And keep in mind, after they started 2-2, and they alluded to it in that audio right there, they went 14-3. You know, so I'm actually going to have his back a little bit if you say by the year 2000, and here's why. I kind of went through.
Wait, hold on. I would like to submit the Baltimore Ravens for this.
For in the year 2000?
For being a better team this year. Even though, like, I know that they lost in the postseason. Like, this is that. Look.
So you're saying just in general, though, without winning anything?
Well, like just on the idea of, like, being the best team last year. Right. I mean, I know you probably, you know, will put up, you know, some other teams. I know then they lost to Buffalo in the second round. Also, the Baltimore Ravens. I look at that and I go, yes, they lost there. That was one of those games where you look up and you go, Baltimore was not playing like they had the entirety of the season. And for the entirety of the season, they were a monster. You talk about running through fools. They were running through fools as well. On top of, and I know this is going to get an eye roll, so I'm going to go ahead and do this, like, if you want to look at DVOA, which is like an adjusted metric to try and help you look over these various different you know, eras, different styles of football, like, Baltimore was far and away better, especially just because of how good and how potent their offense was comparatively. While their defense definitely doesn't compare to the Eagles. Like, if we're just talking about defense this year, like, the Eagles' defense was quite a monster this year. But I think that the point ultimately being, you might quibble about this. I don't even know that if we're going top five all time, we have some real contenders this year. Because, again, I mentioned Baltimore. How do you feel about the Buffalo Bills as well? Maybe you don't feel the same about Kansas City just because of the ways in which.
Well, they beat them.
The style of play was kind of somewhat, even though they got those wins, Kansas City this year. But I mean, the Detroit Lions this year, how do you feel about them comparatively to the Eagles? Because I don't know that I'm like, yo, the Eagles were far and away better than all of these other teams before we even start talking about a historical context.
The Eagles were far and away better than these other teams.
Okay.
I feel like did the Eagles play the Ravens?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but here's my bigger point. You can't just gloss over they lost in the second round of the playoffs. That's the most important part of the season. You can't gloss over that.
I'm actually shocked you didn't bring up the Lions.
And the Lions. And the Lions. But what I'm saying, you know, they have this 14-3 run after starting 2-2, and then they're just annihilating people in the most important part of the season. So, I'm just going to flat out say, I no way.
Okay.
No way. In my view, anyway.
Okay. No, but I just wanted to make sure that we get through that place, and I get it. Yes, they did. They did beat the Eagles, or the Eagles rather did beat the Ravens 24-19 in week 13.
Yeah, so no, but there were some really good teams. The Ravens, clearly, not to take away from what was an incredible season, but like I said, you can't gloss over. They lost in the second round. And you can't gloss over the Bills lost to the Chiefs in the championship. You know, what the Eagles did was pick it up a notch and just destroy people.
I think I'm kind of looking at it from this point too. Yeah. Very early on, I thought he was going to get fired. I thought,
oh yeah, they were talking about it.
Nick Sirianni was going to get let go because he wasn't playing good at all. Remember, he was yelling at fans.
He was
this other stuff, and then they just went on a run.
Yeah,
I would have never guessed they would have got to the Super Bowl, let alone beat the Chiefs like they did.
Yeah, and the Commanders. Remember, the Commanders were like the hottest team, and nobody wants to see the Commanders. 55. Yeah. They put on their ass.
And, yeah, and we thought Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown was beefing.
Yeah. So here's how I would lay it out, Reggie. Eliminate the 72 Dolphins, 78 Steelers, and 85 Bears. Just a different time. So we start in 2000.
Just for your edification, again, I like using DVOA, especially as this they have this dated back to 78.
Yeah.
The 85 Bears would be third in DVOA for whatever that's
worth. Oh, give me the other ones. I'm curious.
All right, number one would be the team that I hated on in that moment, but it's just such a great team, 07 Patriots.
Okay.
Like, that Patriots team was a monster, and then you add Randy Moss, and that was just like, this is unfair. The 91 Washington football team.
I had them on my list.
Right?
Yeah.
The 10 Patriots come in fourth, and the 2023 Baltimore Ravens come in fifth. 87 Niners after that, and then Baltimore from last year after that. 68 Packers, or sorry, 98 Packers rather, and then 23 Niners. And at that point, like, maybe you look at the more recent things with the ways in which that we've like made this more efficient, maybe skews
right.
some
and that
of
goes
the
to my
statistics.
Point. The game was different.
Right.
So I started in 2000, last 25 years. Now, nice number there. And these are my five. You can, disagree, whatever. But these were my top five teams of all time. And I think when you see these teams and what they did and maybe more significantly didn't do, I think that last year's Eagles might be in the discussion. And you guys know I'm not an Eagles fan. But when I heard him, I'm like, All right. So mine were 07 Patriots.
Yeah, that one. I mean, that team was a monster.
But lost the Super Bowl for what it's worth. 98 Vikings, lost in the NFC Championship. 04 Patriots, 1999 Rams, and 2000 Baltimore Ravens. So there's five teams there, two of which didn't finish the deal. I think you could argue the Eagles are in there.
Okay,
I'm
interested because it feels like, yeah. I think first and foremost, it's clear that we have some different things that we're leaning on. Because I'm very much leaning more of what I kind of view that team as, and I always look at the regular season as a larger sample size of what the team actually is. Because playoffs, I think that you need to do this in order to win, and winning is what ultimately matters in some of this stuff. But if we're just talking about how good a team is, I don't know that the playoffs end up being as much of a indicator of that as sometimes we view.
I absolutely do.
But then also, I think you're also giving a lot more credit for having a historic unit, because I feel like that 2000s. Ravens team is an interesting one. That offense was not good.
No, they were horrible. But they went five games without scoring an offensive touchdown.
But they had a historic, literally best.
But that to me is
time.
My outlier
right.
in this group, because the other teams were very balanced. You could argue the 99 Rams were more offense, but they had a pretty good defense in 99, the Rams. No, I think if you're saying that about the Ravens, maybe that's the argument to maybe you should replace that team with the last year's Eagles. Because of offense, and I think they were, I don't remember why I remember these things. I think they were seventh on offense and second on defense last year, if I'm remembering that correctly. That's pretty badass.
No, it's great. It is great.
Yeah.
No, it is good.
Yeah.
The thing I will give him, though, is this was one of those teams that played at an incredible level. I don't know. I just don't recall feeling that, this is a historic team that we're seeing.
I don't
moment.
Either. But when you look at it, that's why I kind of went like, all right, maybe he's right, and maybe he's on to something at minimum, because I just can't downplay. Not only do they have a great regular season, as you talk about, you think it's more of a better indicator of just how good they are because it's a big sample size. I get that they started 2-2, but they had an unbelievable regular season, and you can't downplay what they did in the postseason when everybody is playing that can play. It's the most important part. It is the most important part of the season, and they're just dominating, guys.
Some other teams that come up on the text line to be considered. Greatest Show on Turf is the one that just
99.
Keeps coming up, right?
That's the one I put in
there. And then 713 says, and of course, you have put your cap at 2000, so that's going to hurt. But they said they're not a Cowboy fan, but the fact that you don't have the 92 or 93 Cowboys teams pops up there. If you were to open this up.
Oh yeah.
You're not getting him in there anywhere near, huh?
No. The last year's Eagles?
Yeah.
No, cuz then you've got 85 Bears. I think the 94 Cowboys were probably the best team of those. You've got the 72 Dolphins, you can't mess with undefeated. 78 Steelers would be in there. So there's four off the top from that era. Throw in the 91 Redskins?
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, 91 yeah. For sure goes in there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious, like, do you feel like these Eagles are better than one of the Chiefs runs?
Than any one of the
not
Chiefs
all the
championship
Chiefs runs?
Yeah, not all of them, but the yeah, Chiefs because, runs. I mean, he did say top five.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, was this run even better than one of the Chiefs championships?
Well, was it the Tyreek year where they just ran through people themselves?
I think so.
Yeah.
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 Because when you think about it, they did have a great year, obviously. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I don't know if it was better than like that Chiefs Super Bowl run that won.
You know that meme of that's been making the rounds for years of that woman kind of like scowling and then going, oh, you know, the eyebrows up. Yeah, yeah.
Kombucha girl.
Yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah.
That's how I was when I heard Saquon say that. I was like, come on. And then I went.
I was actually thinking about the Alonzo Mourning.
Alonzo Mourning is a good one.
I was like, come on. And then I went, well, you know, kind of. They might be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I lean on, because I don't think I agree with him on top five of all time, and even if you put it in since 2000, I got my thoughts on it, is I still subscribe to you do what you want when you're popping. And that is a team that, one, is popping, and two, at the very least, like, it feels like one of the best run because, again, they've just continued to be in this place where they're good. Yeah. I think the people still have their questions about their quarterback. I got my questions to some degree, although I've acquiesced on a decent amount of them about the coach. And here they are, right? Like a very bona fide, talented team. Shout out to Howie Roseman that is doing things at a high level. So I don't know that I don't think I agree with them on top five.
I think cheat code was Saquon going to them, man.
Well, he's part of the team.
I said that was just a cheat code, man. It was just like, damn, you going to go to the Eagles? Mm-hmm. And not to mention how they be drafting on defense.
Yeah.
Like, they getting all these Georgia Bulldogs. It's like, damn, man.
Yeah, Howie Roseman, the real MVP of that Super Bowl, I guess. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Friday. I'm always looking forward to this time in the show because it's when we hand things over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us, bro?
Yeah, so it's been a wild story about the 24-year-old who was enrolled in a high school in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
And it's a crazy twist to this. I can't wait to share this with y'all. Kid Cudi take the stand against Diddy in the Diddy case. It was something interesting in there that I found kind of funny, even though this case ain't funny at all. And people are debating whether, do you introduce yourself whenever you call in a company?
Huh.
I want to ask y'all that.
Okay, a jam-packed Figgy's mixtape coming to you next.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Friday. happy Friday to everyone out there. So I ran across this wild ass story, man. So it's a wild story about a 24-year-old who had enrolled in a high school in Ohio. And this became like a national headline.
To hoop? Because this has happened a decent amount
for some
like,
sports.
For folks that are like, yeah. I'm trying to get my hoop dreams.
Yeah.
So I will pretend that I am younger, like 10 years younger.
I don't think this was the case. I don't think he was like trying to. Yeah, I don't think he was trying to like just play on a basketball scholarship or nothing like that. But here's a story from WTOL in Toledo, pretty much explaining this whole crazy situation. And I'm going to explain why this is a wild twist and kind of a local Houston tie to it.
24-year-old Anthony Emmanuel Labrador Sierra is behind bars.
Yeah, and tonight we are learning new information about the Venezuelan man who is accused of attending Perrysburg High School as a student for more than a year.
First, the process of verifying Labrador Sierra's age and citizenship is underway while he sits in the Wood County Jail accused of forging documents to enroll in school.
Labrador Sierra says he is a 17-year-old homeless human trafficking victim from Venezuela, not the 24-year-old man police say he is. His human trafficking attorney is trying to get to the bottom of it in a case like none she's ever seen.
People in Perrysburg have questions. How is it that a Venezuelan man spent more than a year posing as a high school student?
I think that there needs to be investigation as to, you know, where was the ball dropped?
You just wonder what his final motive was. If you're 24-year-olds, why do you want to be going to high school unless it's something that you shouldn't be doing?
Wow. So he's saying he's a 17-year-old child.
Yeah, that was trafficking.
Had no home.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but this is the crazy part. So I'm going to play this last part of this clip again, and I want to see if you kind of recognize it a little bit. This is an older guy in the neighborhood.
His final motive was, if you're 24-year-olds, why do you want to be going to high school unless it's something that you shouldn't be doing?
Sounded a little bit like Rusty Harden.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to play this clip right here. I guess I could call this maybe a flashback Friday type of clip.
Okay.
So I want to see if you can kind of recognize this, specifically you, John, because you've been around for a long time. Okay. So I want to see if you kind of recognize this a little bit. This is a throwback from 1980.
Oh, wow.
Over the years, certain teams have developed tough guy reputations. The Chicago Bears, the Pittsburgh Steelers during the 70s, the Raiders every year.
Add to that list, Steve, the newest bullies on the block, the Houston Oilers, a team that actively cultivates a bad boy image. Part three of our For Men Only series examines what it's like to play the Oilers and how the Oilers' approach sometimes works against them.
If you get real aggressive and you swarm and you gang tackle and you try to get as many people to the ball, then I think there's a group of people that really like that type of football, really love to see the hustle and the hitting. And then there's a group that would rather see a forward pass one-on-one, 40 love, you big savage type of game.
Does that sound a little familiar to you? Specifically that last part?
Sounds a little bit like Jerry Glanville.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
That was
the other guy too?
His final motive was, if you're 24-year-olds, why do you want to be going to high school unless it's something that you shouldn't be doing?
They interviewed Jerry Glanville. Yeah, so apparently that's where he's from. He's from Perrysburg, which is a smaller town right outside
that
of...
That blows me away.
I love Jerry Glanville's like, you want to interview me for the TV?
Absolutely.
I have tapes. I don't even know if they knew that was him.
They couldn't have.
They probably didn't.
Yeah, but yeah, the screenshot of him pretty much doing the interview is floating around the internet. I'm like, I'll be damned.
Dang. It's always funny when a news person gets like a famous person unbeknownst to them, right? Or like when you'll see they'll be outside of an arena, like, oh, we got a big game tonight. Here's a fan. Let's talk to you. And it's just like an athlete who plays on the team. I know Jair Alexander had one of those. I think would Gerald Green have one of those? I don't remember if it was Gerald Green, but like, I love that.
Looked it up. I'm looking at Jerry.
It's a little bit more fair for Jerry Glanville since it's like, you know, it's not like a modern, and especially wasn't in the area either. But Gary Glanville's just like, I got time.
He needs some new hair dye, first of all.
Yeah. Whoa, hey!
Come on.
He ain't had to do that to that man. What did he do? All he was doing was...
He was minding his business.
Minding his business.
The
speaking.
Reporter came up to him asking about the situation in a little small town, and he just giving his opinion on it.
With some big old Oakleys on, too. Jim G.
That's hilarious.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Because I didn't even know he was from Ohio.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he's from... I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Is that real? So I had to look up the whole story.
That's what I just did.
I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
All right, so Houston icon, that would be the funniest giving a news interview about non-sports thing.
Oh.
Berman.
Chris Berman?
Berman? Mark Berman.
Yeah. Well, maybe, but...
John McClain?
Yes.
John McClain of the living?
Yeah.
Because my mind went Bum Phillips of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just love to hear Bum Phillips' take on this story. Like I would
Larry Durker.
Oh, well. Okay.
Wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
I would like to see John McClain.
Yeah, McClain would be a good one.
That's kind of crazy. I'm 24-year-old. To be enrolled in the high school, it got to be something else going on with that.
Pathetic.
I think it's pathetic. Pathetic with a capital T.
From the 832, Adrian Peterson was on the news before and they didn't know it was him here in Houston.
I do remember that one.
Yep. Really?
Okay. I do, yeah.
Always hilarious. Because I imagine for them, they're like, do I tell them? Do they need to?
Yeah.
Somebody said Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan, I just enjoy hearing his voice. His voice is soothing.
I think it's pathetic.
I didn't realize y'all had so many of these impressions on you. Go ahead and break some more out for me. Somebody said Damian Pierce.
Yeah.
Damn.
Ooh, who are the current guys would I want to just hear talk about?
Oh, Will Anderson. He'd be going for 20 minutes.
Will Anderson, whatever it is, just impassioned about. Yeah, the school board. I just feel like.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was a hilarious story. I thought that was hilarious.
That blew me away.
I'm like, that reporter
That's
probably...
That's Gary Glanville.
That reporter had no idea this guy was the head coach for the Houston Oilers.
That reporter is 2 years 80s. Out of college. They do not know what Jerry Glanville
I'm about to say, wasn't even nowhere near born. But anywho, so the Diddy trial been going on for a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was yesterday. Yesterday, Kid Cudi actually took the stand.
Mm-hmm.
So a rapper, singer, artist by the name of Kid Cudi took the stand. And I'm going to read what kind of happened or what was said in mm-hmm. this. And I'm going to get to the part that kind of made me chuckle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So he got on the stand that kind of, testify about the incident that happened with his Porsche.
Right.
Which allegedly P. Diddy set on fire, had blown up, which is crazy in itself. Mm-hmm.
Full mob mentality.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And by the way, that is not something that just came out. Like, that has been whispers that and been rumors around a long time,
but now it's more confirmed.
Yeah.
When Kid Cudi pretty much said, yeah, it happened. Mm-hmm. So he said Cassie warned him, Diddy found out about their relationship shortly before his home was broken into. And his security cameras had been tampered with. His dog was found locked in the bathroom and acting traumatized. Later, a Molotov cocktail. Is it Molotov cocktail? Have y'all had that? Is it
pretty good? Well, I know what they are.
He said, have y'all had that?
It's one of those bombs, homemade bombs in a glass bottle. Stick a rag in there and set it on fire.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a drink.
I know, which is hilarious.
I thought he threw a drink in the car.
I really wish... If I was not as good of a person, I just wanted you to like not know and then go to a bar and order one and see what they said.
He'll have a Molotov.
I would be arrested. I'd probably be arrested.
Yeah.
So that was thrown into his Porsche after a hole had been cut into the roof. So they showed the photos of the car all blown up and all that stuff. This is the funny part to me. So Cudi later confronted Diddy at Soho House, calling the encounter weird. And describing Diddy as standing there like a Marvel supervillain.
I could see that.
Which I find to be funny.
Yeah, I could see that.
The Marvel supervillains aren't like the scary. Like DC usually come with the real wild boys now, don't they?
Yeah, so I was just picturing. I'm like, Diddy standing there like he's a Marvel.
Well, you got him as a superhero there, though. That's the superhero pose.
What is the villain like?
I don't know. So I'm trying to, I guess, looking mad or looking.
Also, which one? Are we talking like Doc Ock? Like Dr. Octopus or Thanos?
Maybe he's standing there like Thanos. I don't know. But, yeah, so I don't know if there's any other celebrities that's going to take the stand, but that one was kind of, I'm like, okay.
Lopez, are you confronting the person that tries to bomb your car?
Oh, God, no. They got a bomb.
You know, it's like, if they sending them people to your house, like they had broken into his house.
Yeah.
They had bombed his car, and he's like, you know what? I got to go talk to him.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I will also stop talking to the girl. I'm like, oh, you got a crazy ex like that?
Yeah.
I'm not talking to you either.
And of course, not trying to blame Mr. Scott Muscutty, because clearly the person on trial is the problem here. Yeah, however, like, some cojones there. That's the point of these was intimidation, and you know what?
Yeah.
Worked. I am intimidated. Like, that is, it got it across.
Calling the feds.
Message received.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get y'all out of here on this. So people on the internet have been debating whether you should introduce yourself whenever making a regular call.
Okay.
So for instance, if you call in to order a pizza at Pizza Hut, how do you make the call?
I don't introduce myself first, but I end up giving my name.
Yeah, because a lot of people. So it's been a real debate about people saying, hey, you know, let's say we make it a reservations for a restaurant or something like that. Hey, it's John Lopez here. I was calling to make a reservation. Or,
that feels more skeezy than anything, like the idea that I'm getting.
Or hey, it's John Lopez. I was calling to see what time you guys close.
Okay, so I don't do it like that. In those cases, I wait to be asked, you know, so I can give them my name or whatever. Now, here's the thing. If I'm making some sort of, quote, business call or whatever, like I got a call, I don't know, Texas Star Grill Shop, and I need to talk to Rick Martin over there. I always say, hey, this is John Lopez. I was hoping to speak with, you know, so they know, they can tell him.
But they already had, okay.
So they can tell you, John Lopez is on the phone.
But if you're making the call to see what time a store closes.
No.
Don't be a jerk. Like, don't be like, wow.
Why, are people doing that?
That's weird.
Yes, people are doing that.
That feels very odd.
Let me guess, TikTok.
It's a TikTok thing.
Nah, it's a social media people talking about it.
Now, I guess it started from a lady who, you know, introduced herself. Hey, this is Sally.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to see what time you guys close. And they thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I could see this in person. Like, you walk up and like, and even then, I don't even know if I'd go like full. I would at least acknowledge people, because I thought you were where you were going to go is, there's people that have been kind of, and this is some TikTok type stuff, people that have been like trying to shame the folks that just walk into a establishment and then begin ordering without acknowledging the humanity of the person. Hello, how are you doing today? And then, okay, can I have a number 5? They're just like, want a number 5? And people are like, okay, but
yeah.
But I wouldn't like saying your whole name gives the air of, do you know who I am? Mm-hmm. Which is very weird, especially because, no, people do not know who I am. Like, it's not, why would they, right? Yeah. So, I think I'd feel weird going, hello, my name is,
I would too.
Or, hey, it's Reggie here. I was calling to see what time you guys close today.
Yeah, just make sure hello, you know, like a human being when you answer the phone, and then go and get into, because also you wasting their time. Especially nowadays, people don't want to be on the phone.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Unless you're calling to wish your homeboy a good night. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only reason you get on the phone nowadays. Ain't that right, John Lopez?
Yeah. Now, some people did say they did like when people do that, but other people say it was just a waste of time. Like, tell me what you want.
Yeah.
Like, if you call
you?
Nah, I usually say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right. Yeah. There you go. Figgy's Mixtape every day right here on at 1:20 p.m. right here on Sports
Radio.
I
thought you were about to say something else, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Buddy, I don't know what I was about to say. It is a Friday, friend. At the Figgy Fig on social media if you find something that you believe to be mixtape worthy. Coming up next, it's about the time where we check in with the fellas of The Drive. They actually are on another stop on the Crawfish Tour. In fact, this time it is Big City Wings out there at Copperfield, I believe. And so we'll see what's happening with them and get you ready for it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Ben, it's Good Friday. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us all day long. Getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of The Drive out there on their Crawfish Tour that continues on. This time, Big City Wings at Copperfield. Go see the fellas out there up there. Highway 6. Go see the folks.
Big City Wings is pretty good, too, man.
Have you had crawfish there? Cause
I did. It was actually pretty good. Okay. I was shocked because, you know, obviously you go there for the wings.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then they had crawfish. I'm like, I'll try a couple pounds. Mm-hmm. It was actually pretty good.
So you can get yourself squared away there. We'll catch up with the fellas, see what the environments are, what the vibes are. But before we get there, have y'all been seeing this? Like these various NFL people out here, you know, obviously you get the schedule, you start predicting what the season looks like all the way through the playoffs and such. And there's a non-zero and honestly a not small amount of people that picking the AFC South are selecting the Indianapolis Colts to do it.
Yep.
Or at least just not the Texans. Like, I don't know if I've seen that many people pick like the Jaguars or what have you. But I am kind of shocked by that. And that brought me to something I saw, which was like, kind of, who do you view as the most and least vulnerable division champs off of this year? Because, I mean, you know, there's we always every year see some worst to first situation. But, I mean, it doesn't have to be that specifically. But, you know, who is vulnerable to lose their spot as the division champion? And, I mean, where do the Texans fall in that? Because, I mean, I think you guys get the way that I've set this up.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like they're one by any means. It doesn't seem like they're the most vulnerable by any stretch by the way that you look at the AFC South.
Yeah, we've said it when the schedule came out and previously. I expect the Texans and predicted the Texans to win all six division games, which means, you know, kind of narrows it down. That means you're going to win the division. So I don't expect the Texans to be. I kind of get it. 10-7 back-to-back years, you know, maybe there's some vulnerabilities there, question. But no, I don't see that one.
I just don't understand it because I feel like their quarterback situation is very shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would understand if you had the Jags right there because maybe new coach, offensive coach, Trevor Lawrence might be the step for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't look at the quarterback room in Indy and say, you know what, they can win the division.
Yeah. Right. And with both of those, they both have very unique problems that you're having to work around when you talk about Anthony Richardson, which, I mean, he's just an accuracy issue to this point. And then Daniel Jones, like, he already has had his shine, and then you lost that shine, and the Giants probably kept him a year longer than most of NFL people would have, you know, advised them to.
Yeah.
And then he moves on. Like, we saw him go in and, like, that's the competition that you were looking for. Like, this is such a weird quarterback room that the Colts have there. And so to take that weird quarterback room, and I'm not trying to speak from a level of, of ignorance. Mm-hmm. I know that the Texans have their own issues, the big ones that we've discussed at length, and ones that I don't think have been fully, or I have confidence are going to be fully resolved without having to see a little bit something. And that's specifically about the offensive line and how the system then affects the offensive line and CJ Stroud's play and everything, right? But that feels a lot more reasonable than these quarterbacks are going to be guys that they're not. And with that being the case, like, so they would not be the most vulnerable division champions. But then when we look at it, who would be in the NFL? Which of these divisions do you think is most likely to switch hands?
And you're talking not just AFC. right?
No, across the league, man. Across the league. And we could talk about the AFC specifically if you'd like.
Well, actually, mine comes from the AFC. And keep in mind, it happens every year. We see it every year. Worst to first. It's going to happen. Maybe not worst to first, but there will be, you know, someone who seems to be in pretty good shape not win the division. And the one that jumps out to me, it's not to say that the team that I think is going to be supplanted here is going to be bad. Hell, they might win 10, 11, maybe 12 games, but maybe not win the division. And that's the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, so which of those teams in the AFC North?
The Bengals are
coming back with the level of – are they going to have pass rushers?
Well, maybe they're going to have a rookie that isn't holding out, and they might have Trey Hendrickson if they give him some money. But my thing is, nobody really wanted to play the Bengals at the end of the year.
No, they started coming on once they found themselves found a level of.
The thing with them though, they start off slow all the time, mm-hmm. man.
That is true.
Towards the end of the year, they start playing catch up, and that's when they beat the scary team.
Yeah. Look, I'm not saying the Ravens are going to stink. Like I said, they're going to be really, really, really good. They're going to be real good.
Yeah, the thing about the Ravens for me is usually their regular seasons end up looking really, really good. They get to the postseason, they don't act like themselves is what has been their issue the last couple of years. Think of, what was that, 2 years ago where they just kept putting the ball on the ground at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Right? Like against against the Chiefs that allowed the Chiefs to get over them, right? Not to say that the Chiefs were not playing good football in that instance, but yeah, man, like I hear you on that to some degree, but I feel like there is one division that I look at that is already super competitive. In fact, they're probably the reason why we were looking at a potential rule change. That's in the NFC North, where you just have, I think you could probably make a decent argument that three of those teams can win the division, and I would not think it's all too crazy if you tried to sell me on the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth being the Chicago Bears, considering that the ways in which that they have had a fantastic offseason and being aggressive at addressing some of their issues. The Detroit Lions beat the Vikings out by one game, and I know J.J. McCarthy is coming in, and we don't know what he is, but what was done with Sam Darnold was kind of incredible.
Yeah.
And then the Green Bay Packers, I don't think it's a far stretch for them to play better football. So I look at them, and I think that's an interesting one. Another one that's coming in a lot on the text line, the Bucs might not be safe in theirs. The only problem is that with that
year.
Is who do you trust to then go and usurp them right now?
Falcons?
The Falcons are the best shot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but and they are also the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, you still don't know about their quarterback situation. Yeah.
Oh, well, they got Michael Penix. Like, it's going to be the Penix thing.
Are you not sold
on Penix?
But you don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if he's going to be good enough to carry them to the playoffs.
I mean, I think it's pointing up.
It's his arrow for sure.
Yeah, the arrow's pointing up with him, but I don't think we all could say, yeah, he's the guy.
Would you think about the Panthers in some ways? I mean, that's a 5-win team last year, but you're starting to see a much better version of Bryce Young.
The same way I feel about Michael Penix. I kind of feel like I don't know what Bryce Young is at this point.
All right, so it feels like those are probably the ones that I would put up at the top of this figure. Do you have any different differentiations? Are you moving any way away from what we've talked about?
Far as the NFC South or
any of these division
what
champions?
What about one of the five greatest teams in the history of NFL football?
In the NFC East?
The Eagles.
Oh, okay. I can see, like, Commanders. If you get the Commanders in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is a division that is notorious for having the not having the same champion every year.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
What comes in first on NFL.com is the Lions. Afterwards, you're right. The number two is the Ravens that they have there. The Eagles end up being third.
Okay.
I'm sure you're wondering. You're waiting for a name. Rams winning the NFC West is fourth. And then the Texans fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how do you feel about the idea of them being kind of middling there when it comes to the possibility of being
usurped as champion? I think that's about right. Like you expect them to win it, but there's always that one possibility, you know, Trevor Lawrence and a new coach, and, you know, we know the story here in the division. So I think that's about right.
The other teams that are here, the teams with the most security, according to the NFL.com, the Bills in winning the NFC East, or AFC East, rather. Because that would be, you'd have to find some level of belief in either the Dolphins or the Patriots.
Yeah. No, right? And the Chiefs is the other one, right?
Yeah, the Chiefs is the other one there, that they have some levels of security just because of the Chiefs. Which is funny because you would think with this kind of question, you'd be looking for a division with a lot of good teams. And it feels like that the AFC West has a lot of good teams between the Broncos as they continue to get stronger, get them some offense. The Chargers that are finding level of finding their level, and the Raiders, who, I mean, they've made some moves that make me intrigued. If even if I don't want to get to a place where I call them like ready to do some level of contending, but that Chiefs team, they just they just find a way to get it done by hook or by crook in a way that's really uncomfortable. At this point, there you go. That's I found that to be interesting. The Texans, kind of in the middle, like definitely not the most likely to get usurped as the winner, but seems like not people do not have enough confidence to immediately put them as the champion again. Which I personally, from a Texas perspective, I take that take that as disrespect.
Oh wow,
I would I would take that because I mean somebody on the text line was talking about how the Colts defense is stout and that's fair. However, you know what's a more stout defense? The Texans.
Yeah.
Like I'm absolutely in that place. So yeah, there you go.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.